with Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1 from the Home Depot. A special buy at just $19.97. The protective shield means pinpoint accuracy, so you can target weeds without harming surrounding plants. With Roundup in hand, weeds are in trouble. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1, just $19.97, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
This is one of the hardest things that we will ever have to say, and we are about to do the hardest thing that we will ever have to do, which is to let our beautiful little Charlie go.
That's the father of terminally ill British baby Charlie Gard, as the parents have dropped their legal fight to bring him to the U.S. for treatment. Their legal team telling the High Court in London yesterday that time has run out for Charlie. Ollie Barrett has more.
Chris Gard and Connie Yates have made their decision after an American doctor said it was too late to offer him nucleoside therapy. And while his parents believe he should have been allowed to travel abroad for experimental therapy earlier, they now agree he should be moved to palliative care so he can die with dignity. Charlie Gard has a rare genetic condition and brain damage. His London doctors have argued in previous legal hearings that experimental treatment abroad would be unlikely to help him and could increase his suffering.
The Massachusetts Supreme Court has ruled that local and state law enforcement officers do not have the authority to arrest or hold people because of a federal immigration order. The court ruling yesterday that a so-called Immigration and Customs Enforcement detainer does not give authority to state or local officers. And NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be joining the NBC NASCAR broadcast team next season, signing a multi-year contract for when he climbs out of the car for the last time at the end of this season. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
It's 9:06, time for Hunterton Chamber Radio weather. Right now, Flemington at 64 degrees, overcast skies, 20% chance of precipitation. I'm being told the rain is possible at 4 p.m. It is Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. Mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Highs in the upper 70s, northeast winds around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy and a slight chance of showers in the evening. Lows around 60 degrees. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 20%. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s, east winds at 5 miles an hour. Thursday and Friday, a little volatile, showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 80s on Thursday, chance of rain 30%. Friday, not looking good for the Balloon Festival, showers likely with chance of thunderstorms, 70% chance both in the day and the evening. But all that will clear out, and on Saturday and Sunday, it looks like we're going to have some fabulous weather, mostly sunny, highs around 80. Let's keep it that way. Sunday, again, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Temperatures in our area, 64 in Raritan, 64 in Lebanon, 65 in Lambertville, 63 in Stockton, 63 in Tewksbury, 64 in Bedminster, and 66 over in Branchburg. Good morning, Hunterton. That's Hunterton Chamber Radio weather.
20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost resonant frequency technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntJibber.com. We're going to talk about empowerment. We're going to talk about women's empowerment. I have the empowerment coach with me, Lisa Mastriani, who is connected with me through a good mutual friend, Sue Ann Sesha Harden, who is a host of HuntJibberRadio.com's Holistic Around Hunting show a few years ago. So, Lisa, welcome to the show, and great to have you here today.
Thanks so much, Chris, for having me on your show. I'm excited about being here.
This is awesome. So I told you a little off air. I went through a transformation, I guess 8 years now ago, where I adopted two preteens. And at that time, I was oblivious to what it's like from a female perspective. And when I started to see what they were gravitated to in terms of the media and the media's way of providing them what they're supposed to be. I took some drastic measures, one of which they still hate me for, which is the TV is gone.
Oh.
TV is gone. And I monitored a lot of, I'm a technologist, so I monitored a lot of websites and stuff like that. But anyway, so I am a complete supporter of where you're going to go with this. I think I want to certainly help you get your message out. But as I always do with all my guests, let's start from the beginning. So tell me a little bit about Lisa, and I know you probably weren't sitting there in junior high school and high school saying, my gosh, I can't wait to be an empowerment coach.
Oh, please. When I was in high school, I was extremely introverted, extremely.
All right. Good morning and welcome to your seat at the table. This is Janice Kovach, mayor from the town of Clinton, and I have Riley Karsh, who's also a councilwoman, and we have a special guest, Sam. So, Sam, I get to say hello now.
Hello, everyone.
Sam is interning. He's a high school student, and he's interning with the chamber, and what his expertise is social media. So we are going to have a interesting conversation about transparency, communication, marketing, and social media, and how it all ties with government. But before that, obviously, we have to do our first commercial break since we're a little bit late getting started. So stay tuned, and we will be back.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, here we are. We are back. Sorry we are not live today on Facebook, but we're having some technical issues with the computer, so it's just going to be us talking today. And then you have
none of our faces,
which with sleep is probably a good thing for me. No, absolutely not. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, there's this social media is relatively new in government. You know, it's something that kids are using regularly, adults are using, but for government, it's kind of like, ooh, do you touch it? Do you not touch it? And we've had conversations with, you know, our attorneys, because from the government perspective, it's everything has to be operable, which means if I put something out there, someone needs to be able to find it at any point in time, and the town needs to be able to produce it. So, wonder how we move forward with social media, with all everything that's happening. And Sam, so you have your own website, you do social media. Do you do it just for yourself? Do you do it for clients?
Right now, I just do it for myself. You know, I just started learning, you know, about computer programming stuff just a couple years ago. I haven't really had a opportunity to work on anything for anyone or, you know, a paid, you know, job. But it's really interesting, the stuff that, you know, you learn with computer programming and social media. It's a really big reach, and I think that, you know, it can be used for a lot of good. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if the government starts using social media, you know,
they in a positive way.
In a positive way, of course. They can get a lot, they can get a lot out there, because you see civilians using websites like GoFundMe and stuff to raise thousands of dollars for people in need. And I think, you know, government, they can do the same thing. They can, you know, get their message out there, and especially if it's a good message, you know, I think a lot of people would benefit from the government using social media.
Right. You know, and Riley, we try to use social media to communicate to residents. You know, no one gets a newspaper really anymore.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's a great tool for communication purposes. And so, you know, particularly now in such a heated environment, we hear a lot of the negative side of social media and
right.
a lot of the downside, which we obviously, Mayor, you and I see, tend to see a lot of negative feedback on social media, which is fine. I mean, that's obviously what we signed up for in some ways. But on the flip side of that, it's a great tool for communications, and it's a great tool for, as you were saying, messaging and getting information out there. And so, you know, from my perspective, I started doing, you know, a government 101. What does municipal government even mean? Which is sort of a play on what we do here.
Right.
You know, what the purpose of our radio show is, your seat at the table. Ask us anything. Learn about what municipal government is, because while it's second nature to us as elected officials and as people who are invested and involved in municipal government and government at all levels, it's not really common sense all the time, because
it's rarely common sense. Let's be honest.
A lot of the rules and regulations and the way in which it all functions seems a little backwards and a
right.
little confusing. And so to the extent that I can use social media as a mechanism for informing people of their rights, informing people of what we're doing, getting information out, and as a way of communicating with people, then I would like to be able to do that. Now, you know, we're always going to have the naysayers. We're always
right.
going to have people who say, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on Instagram, I'm not on, whatever the much cooler people than me are using Snapchat, or I'm sure there's something else now. But, you know, and that's okay, because we have other ways of communicating as
right.
well, and more traditional, you know, email, printed newsletters. Obviously, we have our open meetings. People can always come to those.
Yes, we never have audiences come to our meetings unless something's going on.
I mean, we're pretty entertaining.
I thought so.
You know, I do think it's a great tool. So,
right.
You know, the hardest part for me, and, you know, I would love to hear your thoughts on this now, the hardest part is getting people to pay attention to it.
Right.
And reach, you know, expanding reach. And
yes.
So, you know, you can get your friends, because they don't, you know, it's like sending a Christmas
card. Yeah.
You know, and you're like, here you go.
Right. Every year.
You get it whether you like it or not. But getting people to sign up to pay attention to you
yeah.
is harder.
Well, and especially a younger generation, right? I mean, obviously we've got a lot of newer, younger people who are in our communities, and that is how you guys get all your information. I mean, do you watch network television at all?
I do not even turn on my television most of the time.
That to me is foreign. You know, I'm used to watching network television. I'm used to Channel 2, 4, right. 7, and 11.
Well, and I'm in the gap generation.
Right.
There's a name for me now, I just learned, which I've forgotten the name already because children and brain cells.
Yeah, I know, that happens.
but I'm in some sort of gap generation in between where, you know, we don't get cable. Like, we don't have cable.
Right.
I turn the TV on to play Daniel Tiger. For my kids, you know, but we don't watch TV in the way that
in the traditional way
people put on their news in the morning. That's not how I get my news either, which is why when we're talking about rebuilding our website, I want it all to be on the phone. I want everybody to be able to push a button on their phone
and yeah, absolutely
and achieve the results that they want,
right?
Because that's how I function while sitting in a parking lot waiting on a nap, right?
Like, yep.
That's how I accomplish. And so, and then the younger kids are doing obviously not the same.
Everything on the phone.
But they're doing everything on the phone.
Right. You're all going to need glasses one day, you know, because those screens are so small.
But it's just, you know, how can we engage in a meaningful way with the very, you know, the cross generation?
Right.
Because we do have, certainly in Clinton, but in Hunterdon County, you know, we do need to be able to reach across generations.
Yes.
I think that's really important to keep that focus and that awareness.
Right. Everything we do has to pertain to everyone in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
You know, it may not be every single thing we do goes to everyone, but, you know, the up-and-coming voters need to be engaged because ultimately you guys are going to be the ones taking over for us when, you know, I'm sitting on a beach drinking out of a coconut. That is my retirement. It's the idea that, you know, you'll be engaged enough in the process to understand what it is we're leaving you guys to work on. So how do we connect? What's the, I don't want to say the hook or the grab, but that's almost how do we connect with, individuals who wouldn't normally follow, you know, a 50 something on Instagram or Facebook or anything along those lines.
Well, I think definitely the first step is just getting it out there. You know, the iPhones have a news app, and like we talked about TV, and nobody really goes on those. And I think when you go on social media, there's a lot of news that you can't really know if it's real or not. And
right.
You know, I don't know the answer, but I think if you get to a point where people know what you're saying and what you're putting out there is real, and people around here need to know, I think a lot of people will, you know, follow along because everybody, at least my age, goes on social media every day, sometimes for hours a day.
And, right.
And if you can get them to even just, you know, hit that follow button and, you know, that comes up on their feed and, you know, one day they sit and they see a post and they read it, you know, that's enough to start. Because right now I know a lot of people who just don't even know what's going on at all.
Right.
Because
right.
They go on social media and they're not finding out what's happening, and they're not going on TV, and they're not looking in the newspaper or anything, and they're just completely uninformed. So, you know, like you guys said, we need to get it on social media, and I don't exactly know how to target kids my age, but, you know, we got to figure that one out because
that's
exactly what we need. We need kids my age to be informed because, like you said, we're the up-and-coming. So.
And the interesting thing with social media that everyone keeps saying is having it isn't the answer. It's regularly using it so that your stuff becomes a regular feed.
Right.
So, you know, in addition to, you know, talking about everything that we're doing, we're now then going, okay, now we got to put it out there, and you put it across all the platforms so that there's this constant. Otherwise, because everything is obsolete after 15 minutes.
Absolutely. And it's exhausting. I mean,
yes.
I don't know how you guys do it. To constantly.
Because they can do it in 140 characters.
Between the various, maybe it's because we do more things.
Right.
I mean, more things for economic reasons.
Right.
I mean, I'm running two companies, I'm parenting, and we're working for the town. And so in all of those settings, I'm doing social media.
Right.
And so when you're doing them across multiple platforms and multiple places, like endlessly, right?
Right.
You get kind of burnt out on it. And so... One thing I've decided to do, certainly with town things, is just pick a platform. And so instead of trying to be everywhere all the time, I've just focused on Facebook because we don't have, I don't have a ton of Twitter information to put out about town, and I would like to really build that one platform.
Right.
Right. And then from there, if that becomes, sort of self-perpetuating, which it, as long as you keep building it.
Right. If you build it, they will come.
Well, no, if you build it and build it and build it and you get a following,
right,
then ultimately, you can sort of move forward into something else.
Right.
But the goal with that is to share information and get people aware of what's going on without having to go door to door to door, because that's impossible to do
every time.
Every day, right? You can't do that every day. And so this is a way to be in people's doorway,
right,
essentially, without being in their doorway. So.
Right. They get to do it on their terms. And what's interesting, so when I set up my mayor's Facebook page, it asked me if I wanted to link a Twitter account. So what's really nice is every time I put something on Facebook, it goes to Twitter and vice versa.
Right.
So, and obviously I do a lot of articles, every time Clinton gets nominated or recognized, that the fun stuff as well as the hard business stuff that we're doing on a regular basis. So what are the up-and-coming apps that we need to be prepared for?
Well, right now it's definitely Instagram. But another big one where a lot of, people are getting their news is Snapchat. On the Snapchat Explore page, you can swipe over and there's, a page of hundreds of different, news outlets that you can get your news from. And, when you wake up, kids my age wake up and they go on Snapchat, and they're about to go to bed and they go on Snapchat, and, if they swipe over and they see that news thing is there, I click it, I know people click it, and
right,
it's definitely, Snapchat and Instagram are definitely the big ones that people are going to want to get on if they want to get their message out there. Twitter is still popular, but Snapchat and...
Now, Snapchat doesn't stay, right?
So Snapchat's delete after 24 hours. So what a lot of news stations are doing is, they're putting out a different, series of Snapchats every day to create,
right,
like, their
new, an ongoing story
of the news.
Right. Okay.
What's going on right now, CNN does one. I think MSNBC does one. And every day you'll wake up in the morning and they'll have their news, list of stories that they'll go through. And each,
right,
Snapchat is 10 seconds. So, about a minute you'll get... You won't get in-depth, obviously.
Right. It's all sound bites and the headlines.
Yeah.
Now, the issue for us with that is that if it goes away after 24 hours...
No, we can't.
Then not from a government perspective.
Right. I mean, we could do Instagram, and you could do Instagram stories, which are great.
Right.
You can save your Instagram stories. So,
yes, all that, but the Snapchat. I was afraid of Snapchat. I went on one time and I couldn't quite figure out what to do, and I closed it right away. I was afraid. I'm like, I don't know what this is going to do to me. Yes, I'm showing my age here. All right, we have to run to some quick commercials, and then we'll be back to continue the conversation, so stay tuned.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A former U.S. Secretary of State who's often at odds with the Trump administration's policies says he does agree this time that clearly Iran was behind the recent attacks on Saudi oil facilities.
I believe Iran, one way or the other, was behind the attack that took place.
And as many lawmakers are calling on President Trump to take some decisive action, maybe even military action, in the wake of those attacks, John Kerry says,
the president, I think, is actually correct to be evaluating sort of not being rushed into a corner to go to war.
Kerry spoke on CBS's Face the Nation. Meanwhile, the Iranian foreign minister says he's not confident that war between the U.S. and Iran can be avoided. He says, though, Iran wouldn't be the one to start a war. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
All right, we are now back. We're going to talk some more about social media and how to engage. And, you know, one of the things that I always find interesting is they've got all these polls, these Insta polls out there. You know, and does it really represent, do you guys, Sam, do you guys as you know, teenagers, are you engaging in the polls, or is it just people like me are like, oh my God, I got to vote on this?
I think I see a lot of those Instagram polls, and I don't see a lot that are, you know, very important. I see most people post stuff like, you know, should I cut my hair?
Right.
And then, you know, you'll get like 100 votes of right. people saying what to do. And then you'll post something about like a political issue or something like that, and people won't vote, or, you know, it'll be very lopsided. And I think, you know, people, especially kids my age, see that. And they just don't care.
Right.
And I think that's obviously an issue because, you know, this is politics are something that we have to talk about, and kids my age seem to not want to talk about it.
Is it because it's not interesting? Is it because it's they think it doesn't affect them? I guess that's really, really trying to understand what drives you guys to form opinions about anything.
I think for a lot of the people that don't keep up to date with, you know, events going on, I think they definitely think it doesn't affect them. I think it's definitely a major thing, you know, especially, you know, kids who, you know, have, you know, their food paid for every night and they don't have a lot to struggle with.
The privilege.
They see these issues and they're like, this isn't affecting me, so I don't really care.
Right.
And you know, they're going to get to a point where it's going to matter for them too. And
right.
they need to start caring now.
Well, it's interesting, and that's not unique to you guys, to your age. It's even adults. If it doesn't impact me personally, then why do I care? Why should I care? And it's hard until something impacts someone individually.
Well, there seems to be a distinct lack of empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that, and you hear about that in the national news coverage. This concept of back and the loss of empathy and the loss of community and the loss of understanding that the world and the impact on the world outside of your personal life does actually impact you and that it does affect you. And that
right.
despite the fact that perhaps you'll end the year with $500 more in your pocket, there are people all over this country who are suffering a tremendous amount. And that $500 that you might have in your pocket at the end of the year because of whatever policy change that happened, it won't really make or break you one way or the other.
Right.
But that policy is making and breaking other people.
Yeah.
Right? And so the inability to recognize that and to look beyond your own immediate gratification and your own immediate needs or wants, really, because these aren't needs we're talking about, right? They're wants, and this is something I talk about with my kids all the time. Is it a need or is it a want, right? And so we have people in this country currently struggling with needs, not wants, with needs, with basic fundamental human needs. And so I think this lack of empathy and lack of ability to look outside yourself
mm-hmm.
is really where we're struggling. And it's not unique to our country. It's you know, it's part of human nature. It's
right.
something that needs to be taught from birth to adulthood. And I think it's lost a little bit in our very busy lives, we all lose it, myself included, because you're working, you feel like you're struggling sometimes. I know I do, and I'm in a very comfortable lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You're working crazy hours. You're trying to take care of your kids or your family. You're going to school. You're doing all the right things. Why should I have to give that one thing up for somebody else?
Right.
Why? But at the same time, you've got to look outside yourself and think, well, this, I'm a part of a community, a larger community, and it's important to recognize that and to have that empathy and to be able to look outside yourself.
Yeah.
Whether it's a small community or the larger country as a whole.
And it's interesting you bring that up because that's the one thing, and I think so. I don't know that if it's definitely not unique to social media. I think social media has put it more in the forefront in that people feel it's okay to say things that they wouldn't normally say to someone's face. It's easy to call someone a name when you're doing it what they consider anonymously because it's not I'm not looking right at you as I'm calling you that name. Or tying you to something based on affiliations. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one negative and drawback that I've seen in social media. Obviously we see when people are frustrated and, thankfully they tag us when they're frustrated so that we can address whatever the concerns are.
Usually.
I mean, there's a few things that we actually can't control, like the bear that runs through the neighborhood.
We try. So we can't chase the bear down the street.
No, but the other thing is that we do know that our officers are trained to yes. deal with that. So we can let the officers know. We can't get the bear trapped. It's just the way the system works, unfortunately, and I'm not quite ready to go out and try trapping a bear myself. But those are the kinds of things, obviously. I mean, we're joking about the bear, and yes, he or she, the bear, has been traveling through town. And people are concerned. And it's a valid concern, Thankfully, there's been no issues, no damage, and our police are just notified so that they can go and do what they need to do to kind of get the bear to move on. But the other side of it where there is hateful statements made about people that, whether they know you or not, the fact that it's okay to be able to talk about someone is kind of amazes me. I've always tried to be careful in how I said something. And even when I wasn't happy or angry, I always tried to be careful that I got the point across without making anything personal or attacking. But social media has definitely allowed that form of communication out there. And so here's another question from a social media perspective. I see Facebook has started to, ban and block certain things. Is that kind of across the board with all of the platforms?
Well, Instagram definitely, because Facebook is Instagram's parent company.
I didn't know that. Look at that.
They're implementing some of the same, you know, rules and algorithms, because, which is really a great move by Facebook, because, you know, even they know that their platform's going out. So, you know, they own Instagram now, and I'm fairly certain that if not already, the rules and algorithms are going to be the same on Instagram than they are on Facebook
right
now, and across the board on Twitter too. The only thing on Twitter is nudity. Like, you can post free nudity on Twitter, which is kind of weird, right?
Really?
Yeah. Like, Instagram is not allowed. Facebook is not allowed.
Right.
But on Twitter, it is for some reason. But, you know, hate speech and stuff on all these platforms are banned.
Okay.
And, you know, you're seeing a lot of people every day, you know, get their accounts deleted and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a controversial topic to, you know, it's a
freedom of speech, issue, right? First Amendment, right?
You know, at the end of the day, it's their company. They can do what they want.
Right.
But I think it is definitely across all the platforms, and if it's not already, it's going to be, because there's a lot of bad stuff going on the internet.
Right.
And I think we never really could predict that the internet was gonna be used for what it is used for. Since I've been born, the amount of stuff that has happened on the internet is just astonishing.
How it's blown up,
yeah,
right?
It really is.
Now, when you were coming up, so like I said before, I'm in the gap generation. I was born before the internet, but in the generation where the internet was essential to my education, right? It was a big part of my, not high school, but college and early working years. But you had your whole educational experience. What did it have an effect on your school experience in terms of bullying, in terms of the way, you know, the social experience happened?
Definitely. I think one of the major issues with social media is, you know, back 30, 40 years ago, if kids were having a rough time at school with other kids, they could go home and they could escape that until the next day. And that would give them a little bit of stress relief to not have to deal with that for that couple hours when you're at home. And I think now with social media, that's all gone. Kids are having a rough time at school, and they're going home, and they're still having a rough time, and I think that's a major problem, and I don't think anybody really knows what to do about it.
Right.
No, it's true. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, you have a daughter in school now.
Right.
Both my boys are in high school. My daughter kind of had just missed the constant online bullying, but seeing, you know, what the boys are subject to on a regular basis and how some of the kids trash talk one another. I mean, then again, we see politicians doing the same thing. So,
absolutely.
You know, it isn't unique to just, you know, younger people. It is definitely across all age spectrums.
And it's not, you know, and sometimes it's directed towards an individual or an entire group of individuals.
Right.
Right? And I think part of what I was saying earlier about this concept of empathy or lack of empathy, I mean, personally, I would direct that all the way back to, you know, reality TV.
I don't disagree.
The onset of that generation.
Right.
This sort of celebration of disaster and of tearing down of people.
Yep.
When that became popular and appreciated and people decided that that was fun to do on a mass scale. I mean, I know that that's part of culture and that's, you know, been there forever, but when it was syndicated.
Yeah,
really,
absolutely.
Became
the norm.
Pleasure seeking for people. I think we sort of started down this path. And so now here we are decades later, and we're talking about online bullying and, you know, online bullying of kids, online bullying of politicians, online bullying of entire religious groups,
communities
of color, you know, all sorts of people. And at what point do we as a culture look back and go, you know, we need to slow down and stop and
right.
think about what we're doing here? And I do feel collectively that that is starting to happen, but at the same time, it's sort of a runaway train. And so, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but I do know that, you know, as a parent,
mm-hmm.
as an elected official, as a human being who cares about other human beings, I think we do need to have these conversations
right.
and start thinking about, well, you know, suicide rates are going up, suicide rates among teens are going up, suicide rates among teens who are LGBTQ, who are teens, you know, who are not, you know, quote unquote mainstream for whatever reason, are up, and we have to talk about that and why that is. And so I do think that there is a correlation here, perhaps not causation, but certainly a correlation.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. We have we used to hold the news outlets accountable for what they reported on, and we've gotten away from that. We've gotten, you know, we sort of hold social media companies accountable for what goes out on the platforms, and you see them making some changes. Obviously, they're a little bit slower than government, even, I think, sometimes. But how do we, and maybe it starts with individuals as far as, you know, calling out the bully or doing what we can in our small little piece of the world to change behavior, right? You know, obviously we teach our kids. You, Sam, you get to come and be a part of an organization that is about celebrating and promoting, right now, businesses in Hunterdon County, but the communities themselves, I think it's a healing process. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. To your point, I think some of it started, but it is definitely there's still a long way to go.
No, absolutely. And I do think you raise a really important point on the responsibility of the media outlets and all of the media outlets, not just, you know, CNN or Fox News or ABC or CBS. It's not a single media outlet. It's all of them. They are all making money off of sensationalizing information.
Right.
And until we collectively, as a culture, as a community, say we're not going to continue paying you to deceive us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
They're not going to stop because they're corporations.
Oh, absolutely.
Their job is to make money.
Right.
And so at some point, the journalistic integrity got lost, I feel, in not every single journalist, but in a lot of
In a lot number of them.
Ways.
Yeah.
And from a top-down perspective.
Right.
And I think that's where you're seeing the problem. I don't think it's a bottom-up problem. I think it's a top-down problem.
Yeah. They're being the direction that they're being given based on the shareholders of the company, which is – and, I mean, you think about it. When I was growing up, you had three basic networks, you know, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And you got news maybe 2 or 3 hours a day. And then you read the newspaper. That was, you know, how it was communicated. Now you're talking a 24/7 news cycle that lasts truly 15 minutes. You know, the cycle changes on a minute-by-minute basis, not even a day-by-day at this point in time.
Right, and they're all competing to be more exciting than the other.
Exactly.
Yes.
And when we're talking about facts, the point is not to be the most exciting. Right? It shouldn't be.
Right, it shouldn't.
It should be to be the most accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gotten lost. And we're all suffering for it.
Right.
And you see that in the polarization of the country at the moment. You see that in the way in which we're all starting to communicate with each other in a lot of ways. That, you know, there's so much diametric opposition. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
And so we've all sort of... It seems a little bit like we've all collectively bought into this idea that you know, there is no truth anymore, and that's just not the case. That's
right.
Not the case.
You have to dig through to find it. And, you know, to your point, that could be one of the reasons why, you know, kids your age are not reading or following the news, because it is so sensationalized and it changes on a regular. I mean, the attention span is. Mm. You talk about the squirrel. What it seems like every single minute of the day. You know, and we're both, you and I have both spent time, you know, we comb through the articles and make sure that the information we're getting, because obviously we're going to disseminate to our communities, we want to make sure that whatever we're disseminating is accurate and truly reflects where things are at. And finding some of that is hard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, like you said, it's definitely like, as they say, clickbait, especially with tragedies that are happening around the country. You know, you tune in and you see something horrible going on, and, you know, all you're seeing is the pictures that they want you to see to bring in the most viewers, and you're not getting the facts right away. You're listening and seeing what they're showing you to bring in the most viewers to their channel, and sometimes, you know, you don't know for hours or days after an event what actually happened, because, you know, either they're getting political with it, which I think is a big problem, especially in the midst of reporting a tragedy.
Right.
You know, they're getting political with it. And then other than that, like I said, they're just showing you what is going to bring in the most viewers.
Right.
And that's not what we want. We want the facts. We want to know what's happening. And I think that's definitely an issue.
So maybe there's a social media platform that Sam can kind of work on that would actually disseminate true facts.
Right.
You know, that would be
real media.
Real media.
I would like to do that. That's gonna be difficult. I would need a lot of people and a lot of money to get that above, you know.
Yeah, even if you started with,
because there are apps like that. Like, there's an app called Convo, and I don't know another one. I know Convo is definitely one where people can go on there and they can, you know, follow. There's tiers of, you know, what people know is to be true or not, and like verified users and stuff like that. But the problem with these apps that are coming out that are trying to give us the actual facts,
right,
is it's very hard to compete with a multi-billion-dollar company like,
yeah,
Facebook. And, you know, there's no way. And that 90% of the advertising on the internet comes from social media like Facebook, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook and like, they don't tend to promote their competitors.
Right. Yeah.
So
no, that's true.
People don't know about these other apps because they're spending all their time on social media. But these social media companies aren't advertising the competition. So
right.
It's hard to find out about these other apps.
Yeah.
No, that's
that
true.
Makes sense.
So we haven't quite solved the world's problems yet.
We're so close.
We are. We're on the tip. Cutting edge. All right, we have to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and close out because today's session went a little bit faster than normal, it seems like. So anyway, hold on. We are going to do some quick commercials, and then we will be back to close out our session.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We are back with our last 5 minutes of the session, and we're going to, I guess we'll close out with where we think we need to be. Sam, we'll start with you. Where do we need to be to help kids your age get engaged?
Well, I'd like to go back to your point about empathy. I think we're very desensitized these days, but there's moments that I can see around the internet that are just astonishing. Like, there's a YouTube channel called UFD Tech, and he has a couple hundred thousand subscribers, and his son was diagnosed with SYNGAP1, and they live in South Africa, and they need to come to the United States for treatment, and they don't have a lot of money, and they were trying to sell everything they have to move here. And somebody made a GoFundMe for them, and they raised $100,000 in 2 days. And I think that's just amazing. And I think that people on the internet can come together as a community to support people in need and support, you know, movements.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's a side of the internet that's just, you know, hateful. And I think if we could, as a society, learn that the internet is such an amazing tool to do amazing things, I think we'd be in a lot.
So crowdsourcing for empathy, not necessarily for money.
Well, they didn't even make the GoFundMe. Somebody else made it for them. Like, he was just giving an update video about why he's going to be taking a break from his channel. And people came together and they saw that he needed help. And he didn't even really ask for donations.
Right.
And they raised $100,000 in 2 days. That's a lot of money to raise in 2 days.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, if we could get more people to come together like that.
How do we do it with your age group? What attracts you to pay attention to something like that?
That's a hard question, because I think what kids my age are mostly focused on is entertainment. And a lot of the problems these days are not entertaining.
Right.
And I don't know how to get kids my age to pay attention to what they need to pay attention to. Because, like you said about attention span, like, you can, like, kid my age will sit there and they don't want to read a whole article.
Right.
And they won't.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how to get them to do that.
Okay, Riley, how do we fix this?
loaded question. Loaded question.
Well, in five minutes. No, I don't think we fix it. I think we just have to use what we have to make it better, right? I mean, I don't think it's going away, and I don't think it should. And I think, I think there's a good and bad to everything, and you can't have one without the other, right?
True.
So it's okay that there are bad things about the internet. It's just my biggest complaint about the media and about the internet and about life in general is this hyper-focus on the negative and the hyper-focus on all of the bad things happening, all of the stories you see, even if you turn on the local news, which is one of the reasons I never do, is because it's always murder and arson, right? It's always the worst of the worst stories. And it's not that those things should never be reported on. Perhaps they should be, and perhaps they are, you know, headline-making news. But where are the stories that we just heard about 2 days raising $100,000 so that this father can take his child and help him get well?
Right.
Why are we not talking about when humanity is humane?
Right. The good stuff. The good news.
Right. And where is that focus? We've lost that ability to notice that we can be kind, that we can be empathetic, and we can be a community of helpers. Instead of going, how dare you? You've done this, or you're the worst, or you support this, and so I don't like you anymore, or whatever it is, you know, murder and arson, which is whatever I turn. If I turn on the news, that's what I seem to see. That's why I'm saying it. And it's and then I turn it off immediately because it's an endless cycle of negativity, and then you get that in your mind, and that's what you're thinking, and that's where your mindset goes. And so anyone who does mindset training, which I do, and work with people, you can't spend your life in negativity and expect to not be negative.
Right.
And so
it takes up too much energy to be.
But it does. It takes more energy to be angry all the time than it does to be anything else.
Right.
And so if we want to make a change, if we want to use social media for good, if we want to use media in general for good, we need to start acknowledging and noticing the good that it does.
Right.
And start talking about that and making that the focus and using it as a tool for good. Instead of
sharing the bad
and being the anonymous person behind the scenes going, you know, go away, or I hate you, or you're the worst group out there, or whatever.
And it gets a lot worse than that on the internet.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the bad words because we're on the radio.
Right.
You know, all of those things.
Right. You know, the one thing that I've always, I can agree to disagree with anyone, right? But it's the civil discourse that you have. You can have a philosophical difference of opinions and still be able to carry on a conversation. And unfortunately, we don't see that as much anymore. It is a strictly black or white. It is yes or no, hate or no hate, not a, you know what, we're going to agree to disagree, but it doesn't mean I dislike you as a person. Unfortunately, we've tagged one another with whatever our dislikes are to that person. We've tagged them with it.
Well, I mean, and I know we have to wrap up, but I will leave it at this. I do think we are at a pendulum swing in our cultural discourse at the moment.
Okay.
And so I do think that there is room for people to grow in their understanding of each other. And I think that there are hard lines wherein I'm not going to agree to disagree. And so...
Yes, I'm not saying on everything, but the basics as far as the sky is blue, no, it's not, it's gray.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's those are the extremes where it's gotten to with people. I mean, I don't disagree with you. When there is an absolute... a line you don't cross, I'm not going to disagree. I'm right there with you. But in the everyday general conversations, absolutely, that's really where it's become harder to have a conversation with someone.
Yeah, when I want to order my lunch and someone asks me what my political beliefs are before I order my lunch, then
right,
I have a problem.
Exactly. All right. With that, thanks again for listening. This is Your Seat at the Table, and we will be back next Monday at 10 a.m.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Republican Senator Mitt Romney's concerned about what President Trump may have said about former Vice President Joe Biden and his son to the President of Ukraine in a phone call. In a weekend tweet, the Utah Republican said it's critical for the facts to come out about any conversation Trump or his lawyer may have had with the Ukrainian president. Meanwhile, that lawyer to Trump, Rudy Giuliani, says this is all much ado about nothing, saying of the phone call,
"There's no quid pro quo, no money, a proper action by a president. They might say improper, but certainly not grounds for impeachment."
The 74th United Nations General Assembly getting underway in New York today. The president will be addressing the assembly later this week. Today, he's skipping a climate action summit to attend one focusing on religious persecution. And this is USA Radio News.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835 with our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC and a four-wheel independent suspension. It's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere Gator for more.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
New York City has begun weeks of gridlock with the United Nations General Assembly starting today, but in Washington, D.C., there is gridlock as well because of climate protesters who are trying to snarl traffic citywide. Organizers say their goal is to bring awareness to the climate crisis.
We want a declaration of climate emergency. We want to honor the treaties of indigenous peoples. We want a green. We want the decade of a Green New Deal.
They're calling it Shut Down D.C., and they're urging the protesters to bring the city to a standstill. The 71st Annual Primetime Emmy Awards making history this year. Billy Porter became the first openly gay black man to win an Emmy in a lead actor category for the show Pose on FX. It was also the first time the award show had no host. Instead, Thomas Lennon provided what was supposed to be comedic commentary. And this is USA Radio News.